D-Maze, Fink, and Adonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Adonic, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. Titans are back in action on Sunday against the Houston Texans. Always a spicy matchup, although the Texans are, I think, 8-point favorites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know the rivalry between Tennessee and Houston. So always look.
I'm trying to figure out, like, seriously, is it really a rivalry?
Do you feel like more of the hatred is on the Houston side and the Tennessee side?
Yeah,
is kind of like
I've always felt that
yeah,
way. I think it's okay. More so Houston.
That's fair.
Than here in Nashville.
If you had Titans fans list their most hated rivals, mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3.
It couldn't be.
Houston, I'm not sure Texas. Houston's in the top three.
Yeah, they can't be.
Might be third. I would say Ravens, Colts would be 1, 2. Maybe
Raven,
Steelers.
Ravens, Colts, Steelers.
Yeah. Jags, maybe.
Jags, yeah.
Maybe Jags.
Maybe.
Because of how the whole playoff thing went.
Yeah. Ravens number one, hands down.
Exactly. The Ravens or Pittsburgh, but I think more so even Ravens now than Pittsburgh. I think the Pittsburgh luster has sort of worn off a little bit.
I think after 2019, that's when like the Ravens rally just went up another
level.
There.
Yeah. So, but I don't.
Either way, Houston fans like sticking it to the Titans.
Of course.
Any chance they get, and they hope to do so again on Sunday. So before the season, Willie presented us with 10 Titans questions that he felt would dictate where this season would go. And we looked at it about a quarter of the way through the season. We're about halfway through. We're closer to the end than the beginning. But we haven't done another check-in on these Titans questions. And I've just got a bad feeling that we might be off on quite a few of these. So why don't we go over what we thought in the preseason?
Yeah, we can blow through these pretty quick because we know the answer. When we do these every year, the idea is we come back to it. Like, what needs to go right for the team to have a good season? So the questions are designed to say if the answers are a certain way, the season's going to go well. If they don't, oh boy. And I think we're in the, oh boy. At 2-8. Well, first, I mean, the Titans' record this season. I had 8-9. Adam had 7-10. D-Mace had 9-8.
Yeah. Neither one of us.
We're all not doing well, but I'm doing the best comparatively.
Adam is doing the best. Yes. I think there's a few more dubs out there. Here's another one. Treylon Burks, over or under 12.5 dynamic plays.
Who?
Treylon Burks. A TD of any kind or a 20-plus yard catch or run.
Damn.
I was just saying, okay, give me a few. Just spot. Just you don't have to be the every down first round power that everybody wished he would be at some point. Just contribute with some down the field plays.
Mm-hmm.
He's got zero. D-Mace and I took the over.
Yeah.
Suckers.
Big time suckers.
Adam said under.
That's right.
And he's got zero through week 10. He may never play another game.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. He may not.
I haven't heard a thing about him in weeks. So it looks like it's over for Treylon Burks. That's a bummer. Because at the end of training camp, you were thinking, just make a contribution.
Yeah.
Make a contribution. Will DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley combine for over or under 2,200 yards? Now, I think after 2 weeks, I said, I probably should have said 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
D-May said over, I said under, Adam said under. We know the deal. A little bit of a rebound now for Ridley, starting to put together some numbers that could have him. He's got a shot to crack 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 541 now. If he continues the recent pace, and he is getting the ball thrown his way a little bit more, and we know they've traded Hopkins 173 yards. So that's not even going to come close. But for them to be good, you were thinking it's got to approach that number, right?
Yeah.
We were saying they've got to distribute the ball. They've got to find ways to get them both the ball. It never happened. It never happened with the two of them.
We need to do what percentage of the snaps DeAndre Hopkins has played in Kansas City update. We haven't done that in a while.
He it looked like he was in the game a lot against the Bills, but he didn't do anything. They shut him down.
Yeah.
They shut him and Kelce down.
Yeah, they did.
I don't need them to score touchdowns. Good. I just need them to be on the field playing snaps. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'll need to do an update on that.
Will Tavondre Sweat finish in the top 10 of NFL Defensive Rookie in the Year? I think that's got a shot.
Yeah, I think that has
got a shot to happen.
Especially after how he played last game.
All of us said yes. Mm-hmm. And I think if they are paying attention, and I don't know who votes, he should be in the top 10. I think, if he continues along the path that he's doing. How many points will the Titans average per game?
Oh, damn.
Where's Frazier? Because Frazier's answer for this was something special. Is Frazier around?
Didn't Frazier say like 20-some points?
Frazier said 25 or over, I think.
Frazier. Gosh. Man, what were you thinking?
I'll give him a smoke signal to come in here.
What was he thinking? 20-some points?
We know that the last 2 years they have averaged under
18 points, yeah.
And so we were saying, okay, if you could get at least to 18, that would be making you eligible to vote. That would be option B, between 18 and 20.9. And then to get to 21, then you would be legal to go to a bar without a fake ID.
Yeah.
That was option C. And then you had Nick Frazier, who created a new category of over 25, and you could be eligible to be voted into the House of Representatives.
Yes.
D-May said C, 21 and over.
Dang, I was wrong.
Adam said B. I said B, 18 to 20.9. So at this point, they're averaging exactly
17.
Exactly 17. And it's buoyed by the one game that they scored over 30. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line
really
is
they're really averaging like 16 points a game.
They've only gone over 17 twice. They had 31 and they had 20 against the Patriots. And that game went to overtime. So they had 17 in regulation.
Who is the lowest scoring team in the NFL right now? Who is it?
Good question.
Would you care to take a guess?
I would say Carolina. I just threw that out there. I would believe it was Carolina.
Let's take a look. The lowest scoring
team
in the NFL is the New York Giants. 15.6 points per game. The Titans are averaging more points per game than the Cleveland Browns, Carolina Panthers, New England Patriots, and New York Giants.
What do all those teams have in common?
They
stink.
They're
all bad. Exactly.
No. You have to be able to score. Last year, the Titans defense had 14 takeaways. We asked the question with the new defensive coordinator who plays an aggressive style, is going to blitz more, Nard Wilson. Could they get over or under 20.5 takeaways, which would still be a little bit below league average most years, but it would be a significant upgrade from a massive weakness in last year's defense.
Up until what?
We all said over.
They were last, wasn't they? Up until last week or 2 weeks ago, they were last.
After four games, they only had 2 takeaways. They're now up to 7. So still trending below where they need to get. They got a long way to go to get to 20.5. That's still a weakness. They don't take the ball away.
Yeah. But it's hard to take the ball away when you don't have your corners out there that you paid a lot of money.
And you don't have an edge rusher that has stepped up to help a Harold Landry, who's a good edge rusher, but
He benefits
great.
When he has someone else on the other side that can get to the quarterback.
And they haven't picked it up from other places with blitzes. And stuff. There's too often where the blitz comes in and it doesn't get home.
Yeah.
Like the long crossing pattern for the touchdown that the Vikings got. They have a blitz. Brownlee gets in there, and he's got a shot. He's just a hair late, doesn't get there, and it's a touchdown. It's frustrating. You hope that they can get to another level there defensively. Tony Pollard or Tajay Spears, who will be the most –
Tony
productive.
Pollard.
D-Mace and I took the Tajay Spears Kool-Aid, and he's been injured.
So what you're telling me is that
Adam, you're doing well.
I'm nailing these.
You're doing well.
Adam,
these.
You're killing it.
I'm killing it.
You are.
I picked Tony Pollard.
Yeah. And Spears has missed, what, 2 games? 2-3 games?
He's been a non-factor. He might have missed more than that. And there's been other games where he's left in the middle of the game and had like 3 touches in the game. Pollard's been a steady pro, I would say. Not moving the needle, but he's been good. A couple more. Will Levis completed 58 64.4% of his passes. Last year, the league average last year was 64.5. We asked over under 62% completion percentage. Where do you think he is this year?
He's at 60.
He's over 60.
65.9 after 10 games.
So what did we all say?
We all said over because we did believe that they would try to get the ball out quicker and throw a lot more high percentage passes like screens. That has happened. But the problem is there's a lot of completions that are sort of unproductive completions that go in there. They haven't really been able to get any value from the bump in completion percentage.
They don't get a lot of mileage out of the short pass.
Right. And his QBR and sack rate and quarterback rating,
they're all bad.
Reflect that. They reflect that, even though the completion percentage has gotten better. Will Levis, over or under 14.5 games started? You guys both said over. I said under, and I'm going to win that one because even if he starts the rest of the games, he will only have 14.
Oh, right on the cusp.
He's already missed the three. And that includes the game where he started but came out very early in the game. But Mason Rudolph has started three games, so that's that. And then the last one. I saved the best for last. The offensive line.
Oh, wow.
Oh, the Bill Callahan factor. 64 sacks allowed last year. Tied for the fourth most. Somehow the Giants allowed 85 sacks. Can you imagine watching that last season? Now, is that
Hold on, a little bit
of Daniel Jones?
Whoa. Say that again.
Daniel Jones has got to be raising hands and go, see what I'm talking about?
Is that the record?
I don't know what the record is. 80. That's got to be close. 85.
Most sacks allowed in the season?
Yeah.
Now, remember, that's 17 games as opposed to 16.
I know the record once was with the Houston Texans with David
Carr. Was that like the David Carr? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's research that. 70-something. Well, we give you the finals. So I set the over and under this year at 49.5.
Okay.
Could they cut it down? That still would be below average. It would be a nice step forward. So after 10 games, they've allowed 36 sacks.
Ooh.
The 1986 Eagles. The 1986 Eagles gave up 104 sacks.
Oh my gosh! In 16 games?
Yes.
Wow.
The 86 Eagles, a still standing NFL record.
So
of 104.
I feel good. About, can you imagine that? Now we watch every Sunday this Titans team have trouble protecting the quarterback. Can you imagine watching a team every week give up 100 sacks?
That's what, like,
was that Ron Jaworski?
Four sacks a game? Four?
Was that still Jaws, an older Jaws back then? Who were the quarterbacks?
Five a game?
Let's see.
Maybe a young Randall Cunningham?
86.
Was it 86?
I thought that was Ron Jaworski, wasn't it?
Jaws might have been an aging Ron Jaworski.
Hold on. You're asking me?
I'm saying,
here we go.
Jaws and Cunningham combo.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Jaworski started 9 games. Mm-hmm. Cunningham started 5.
Okay.
Golly. So you had the old guy and the young guy both taking the sacks. That must have been something to watch. So I said under 49.5 for this year's Titans. It's not looking good.
No, it's not.
Adam, I got to say, you are tracking to win this competition.
Nice.
You have done well on the 10 Titans questions. The Titans, however, have not done well on the 10
Titans
questions.
Did I say over on that, on the sacks?
You did.
I think my reasoning was that it would come down, but not that far down.
Not that far down.
So, hey, I got to win something around here. I can't win at silly underdog picks. I am doing well at Take It to the Bank, which we will get to at 145. So, I mean, it tells the story of a bad Titans season. And you know what? How many more games of this do we have left?
Seven more games.
So strap in,
two
folks.
Against the Jaguars. That would be interesting.
And I'm just going to we'll get
two against the Texans, by the way.
Yes. I do think it's
which starts this week.
Yes. There are five of the final seven games are against AFC South opponents. So
yep.
Strap up, Titans fans. It's far from over. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, the Tennessee Volunteers were the first team out in the latest rankings for the college football playoff. They're back in action this week against UTEP. But they are going to need a lot of help to put themselves back in the mix for the college football playoffs. So we've got your Tennessee Volunteers other team rooting guide for this weekend. And we'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason.
Cue the Vanderbilt fight song.
Yes. 1025, 106.3 The Game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 106.3 The Game. In our next segment, it's time for Ask D. Mace. So if you have questions for Derek, you can get them in now, 615-737-1025. You can start texting. You can start calling. We will do Ask D. Mace in the next segment. The Tennessee Volunteers are back in action, if you could call it that. They're playing UTEP tomorrow. The line is Tennessee minus 40.5. So Vols fans, you're probably not sweating the game tomorrow against the fine University of Texas at El Paso.
You hope not.
You hope not. But Tennessee is going to need some help if they want to get back into the college football playoff, because earlier this week, they were the first team out after losing last week. So I've sort of compiled a list of teams you need to be rooting for this weekend if you are a Tennessee fan, to help you as you hope that your favorite team gets back into the playoff mix. We'll start here locally. Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is at LSU tomorrow. Tennessee plays Vanderbilt next week here. And as Willie said during the break, if Vanderbilt can get a win at LSU, LSU is scuffling, but if you are Vanderbilt and you can get a win at LSU and Tennessee beats Vanderbilt on the road, it's a better-looking win.
I think the win would carry a little bit more weight, because I do think if Vanderbilt could put – this is a big if, right? I think we're all curious to see after the bye week. We talked to Clark Lee earlier this week. If Vanderbilt looks a little more rejuvenated, and if they could pull off a big road win at LSU, I think that would maybe put them on the cusp again of the top 25 heading into the game against Tennessee. And that would be good for Tennessee, because that would give you another, quote, quality win. Just thinking of it like a committee member of the basketball selection committee would look at it, right? So that's just a small reason I think that you would. And Tennessee didn't play LSU, so you want your opponents and your strength of schedule to look as strong as possible.
So Vanderbilt at LSU, I think the big one mm-hmm. that everybody is going to be watching, not just Tennessee fans, but the college football watching public, Ohio State and Indiana.
You want to be a big Buckeye fan. You
and not only not thrash. Only a win, exactly. You yeah. want Ohio State to lay down. The smackdown yes. on Indiana and leave no doubt. If I believe the line on that game is 11 for Ohio State, minus 11, you're hoping for, like, what would be, and Derek, you mentioned this uh-huh. the other day, sometimes the margin of victory doesn't tell the story of the game, mm-hmm. but what is the smallest margin of victory you can hope for if you're Indiana? Sorry, let me rephrase that. Like, what's the largest margin of victory Ohio State can have, or the smallest margin of victory Ohio State can have for Indiana to still look good coming out of this game?
I would believe, because I will say 14, because 14 looks different. 14, if I wasn't watching the game, 14 would be like, oh, it was a blowout. But if I'm watching the game and it's, you know, they're down 7 points and they're driving and all of a sudden throw an interception, pick six, yeah. And now it turns into 14 points. And now, you know, the game's pretty much, it's over with. That looks different from, you know, me just looking at the score and say, oh, they lost by 14.
Right. I would hope the committee would actually look at the context.
You would have to see the context and how the game was going. So Tennessee fans, they have to hope for at least 17 points. It has to be a 17 point, or it has to be where Ohio State just controlled the game for the majority of it. And say they were up 28 points and then Indiana came back and made it a 14 point game. That looks different than the 14 that I originally talked about. And it sort of helps UT, because Ohio State was up 28 points and y'all scored two garbage time touchdowns after Ohio State took their guys out. That looks totally different. So Tennessee fans better hope for at least a 17-point victory or more.
Matt from Camden says Indiana has to cover to look good, and the line as I see it now is minus 11.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the game that everybody's going to be watching this weekend. And Tennessee fans certainly hope that not only Ohio State wins, but wins convincingly. This might make you feel a little bit sick to your stomach, Vols fans, but you're going to have to root for Florida, too, against Ole Miss.
Yeah, you're going to have to. And listen, Ole Miss has put themselves in a situation where this is a must-win for them. They have to. Because if they don't win this, then they're out. If they win, it puts UT further behind. Then UT has to. Then I think that last game, regardless of what Indiana does, that last game versus Vandy is going to be big for UT. Say if Vandy goes and get a win, which I do hope they have a real shot at winning this game. To me, it's even based on how LSU played last week, and it just seems like they're just so erratic. And they're out of it, period. So what are they playing for? So if Vandy beats LSU, that last game versus Vandy, UT, that's going to be a huge game, have a lot of implications on whether UT makes it or not. Because regardless of what Indiana does, if Indiana loses and it's close and UT don't take care of their business against Vandy, they're done anyway. So they need to stop worrying about everybody else and make sure that not only that they beat – they got to blow UTEP out. It can't be a close game.
It's a 40-and-a-half-point They need to beat him
by
right –
no, they need to beat him by damn near 40 points. And then they got to come back, and they have to have a dominant performance versus Vandy. If it's close or they lose, I can't see them getting in.
I would agree, and Florida has been playing well enough. Even though they're a 12.5-point dog at home, I feel like they're gonna be a tough out, I think, for Ole Miss. Now, Ole Miss is playing well. That's the thing. Ole Miss seems to have come a long way since they lost to Kentucky, right? They looked lost on that day. Slowly but surely, they have come on, and they look really good. But I'm really curious about that game, just from Florida's perspective, because Florida's playing for a lot. If they would love this, this is probably their biggest chance to walk away from the season having stood by their coach, who looked like he was absolutely on the way out, may not make it through the season. They should beat Florida State next week. That should be fun for them. But this is the win that could really have Billy Napier going, we got momentum for Florida. We'll see. I would even add a little wrinkle here. This is not the number one thing, but Kentucky is another interesting team to me. They beat Ole Miss, right? Mm-hmm. They're sitting there at 1-6, 4-6. On paper, you're like, Kentucky's not very good. Beat Ole Miss, took Georgia right to the wire at Georgia, right to the wire. If somehow they can play Texas tough, I think that also helps UT because that's another win for Tennessee, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think Kentucky looking good, and if Texas is going to be fine even if they squeak by. And if Texas loses, then all of a sudden Texas is not the shoe-in that they look right now, right? I'll believe that when I see it because Kentucky's lost a little bit of the mojo since early in the season. But I'm curious about that game too.
But it's and also not just Texas this week, but – I think Texas next week because those implications
are
a
that's a big
bit
one.
Larger.
That is a huge one.
That implication, I think whoever wins that game, obviously they go to the SEC championship and win or lose. I think you make it, right, win or lose. But if you lose that game, I think you're more likely to be left out of the college football playoffs.
Yeah. And could Texas be looking ahead?
Yeah.
Knowing that that's going to – they know what's at stake when they play Texas A&M. That's a rivalry, remember, that stopped. It used to be a big rivalry, and they used to play all the time, Thanksgiving weekend, and then they refused to play each other. So that is going to be a spotlight game.
The other two games I had on here quickly, Minnesota hosting Penn State and Army playing Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium.
I want Army to win that game so bad. I do.
Army
is just more chaos.
They're 9-0, but they have, as Mitch Light has pointed out every week on the show, it is a very, very low strength of schedule. They
but
have not played
leave
a team.
Them. You can't leave them out if they go 12-0 after beating Notre Dame. You can't.
Oh, no question. No question.
What is that, the AAC?
Yeah. Now they would have to win the – I still think they would have to win the conference championship game.
Yeah. Against it would be against who? Navy?
It could be against Navy, yeah, right, if Navy keeps playing. That's a – That's an interesting scenario. Can you imagine Army and Navy playing twice?
Yeah, back-to-back weeks.
I think that's still possible, right? I think.
I'd have to look, but I think so.
Because our Navy's only lost one game, right?
No. So it would be Army and Tulane.
Oh, that's right. Tulane.
Oh, because, yeah.
Because that's not Tulane as fun. Throttled Navy.
That's not as fun.
Tulane is sneaky good.
But that's not fun.
And then the other one you mentioned was Minnesota, right? So Minnesota, who now has the outdoor field. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the weather is going to be like in Minnesota, but
cold.
Minnesota's not bad. 6-4, 4-3.
No. There's a possibility of an upset.
You never know with Penn State.
Yeah.
Penn State usually beats who they're supposed to beat. Right? That's not their problem with James Franklin. They have not lost to bad teams. They just haven't been able to beat the elite teams.
Yes.
615-737-1025. It is time for Ask D-Mace. Get your calls and texts in now at 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now. On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time to ask D-Mace on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. One piece of Titans news to pass along first, according to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. The Titans are placing L'Jarius Sneed on injured reserve. That according to Tom Pelissero.
Any designation?
All it says is the Titans are placing L'Jarius Sneed on injured reserve.
This is what I'm curious about. Is it retroactive? Can you make it retroactive so that if he improves in the next couple weeks, he could still play the last 3-4 games? Or is it IR done for the year?
I guess we'll find out. But according to Tom Pelissero, the Titans are placing L'Jarius Sneed on injured reserve. So let's get to our questions on Ask D-Mace. You can call, you can text 615-737-1025. I saw this one
up. Come on.
Right off the hop from Andrew in Dover, and we're going to have some fun with this one. I'm going to contribute. Yes. Willie can as well. Derek, you are creating a drinking game for Stillman and Company. Certain phrases you have to take a shot. Which phrase will get you drunk faster, a.k.a. PT, or we don't have a right tackle?
Whoo! I believe.
I guess we're roping Ian into this as well because he's the one that says PT.
Yeah, so I would think, man, PT. I think it would be AKA PT.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here are some other ones I would like to contribute. So those two, certainly.
I've got one for sure.
What's that?
I'm worried. I'm worried.
That's a good one.
The AI cancer
I'm
curing.
I'm not saying. But I'm worried.
The AI cancer curing model, that'll get you drunk. This is something that only a certain people will appreciate. He says fakakta a lot, which is a Yiddish word for like lousy or defective. He says that about 50 times per show. Oh. So if you hear fakakta, take a drink. You will be sloshed by 2:30.
He says write a lot
by 2:30.
By 2:30.
Well, what is the other one he called?
I don't know if that's a good way to sustain a healthy life.
Scarbini.
Yeah, Scarbini.
Scarbini.
Scarbini. Scarbini.
It's one.
Yeah. I think Scarbini will get you messed up faster than PT.
That's.
I think Scarbini's, so. Yeah.
We might have Scarbini's, to do this, yes. But unfortunately, most people are listening to the show while driving, so we don't want to encourage this.
Yes,
we don't. I want you guys, when you listen to the show today, listen to how many times he says the word fakakta, which is not something you probably heard him say it a lot and go, what does that even mean? It's a Yiddish word, which means like lousy or messed up or defective. Listen to how many times he says fakakta today. I guarantee you it's at least 10 times. So that That was the first question. Oh, Dylan says, don't forget, back me up, Ian.
Yeah. Back yes. me up, Ian. Back yes. me up, Ian.
Yes. Don't forget.
And Ian is always like,
Ian's got too many things to do back there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Somebody says, Scarpini shots for everyone on the text line. Adam in Portland. Derek, what do you see as the biggest difference between this current Titans roster and the one that went to the Super Bowl? Do you think there's a path for this team to close that gap, and how long would that take?
Well, they had a QB for starters. They had a hell of a running back. They had an O-line. They had a top defense. I think our defense was in the top two or three in the league.
Well, you had
and we're talking about sacks and everything, turnovers, sacks.
Is he talking about, like, the Titans team that went to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, Super Bowl, yes.
He's talking about that Titans team.
The Javon curse, so overnight
I'm like,
sensation.
Yeah, I'm just marking stuff down.
Was something that this group of Titans could really use in the next year or two is hitting big on a first-round pick. I think J.C. Latham, it's hard for him to have that kind of impact. I think he's going to be a really solid player at his position. Yeah. That's a good hit, I think. But a guy like Curse, and maybe this becomes a discussion in the draft this year. An edge rusher who
It changes things.
That's a big one.
But here's the main biggest difference, I believe. With this iteration of the Titans and, 99 when we went to the Super Bowl, we knew who we were. We had an identity. And we didn't deviate from that identity. They knew each and every time we stepped into their building or they came in ours, the type and brand of football you were going to get. It wasn't maybe they'll throw the ball 50 times this game. Maybe they'll throw it 40, 30. Maybe they'll run it, 30 times. No, it was, they're going to run the football. That's what they're going to do. They're going to run it, and they're going to run it, and they're going to run it some more. Then they're going to play great defense. So if y'all ready for that type of game, then let's go. If y'all ain't ready for that type of game, you need to put your gear back in the bag. I don't think, and we've talked about this before, this team doesn't have a true identity. They can say what they want their identity to be, but I don't think they have a true identity because every game you go into as a person watching, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to be heavy run, heavy pass. Are you a screen? What are you? Because the things you've tried really haven't worked, but you've run the ball effectively at times, but it's just not enough to help you win football games. So that 99 team, that team through that whole era from 97 to the year I left in 04, we knew what our identity was. Even when we became a team that can really pass the ball, we still was a run-first team. That was our identity. Hard-nosed football, run the football, play great defense. Yeah, we'll throw the football, but we had an identity going into the game. I don't think this team has a true identity yet.
Eric is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eric, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have a dad joke and also have an Ask D-Mate question, but one other little tidbit of information that you guys may have learned about, find out this morning that on the Manning Cast Monday night, Mike Vrabel is going to be part of that. I think, of course, Bill Belichick does first half, so which means I guess he'll be on like the third or fourth quarter. And I'm assuming, of course, it's the Derrick Henry connection as well as several former Titans are with the Chargers. But I heard about this morning, so just thought that might be interested in that little tidbit. Okay, here's my dad joke. And, of course, I had to make sure I called in with the dad joke this week since I was at an event with George Plash last week, and next Friday's Black Friday. So if I didn't call in, it would be, of course, a while before you hear one. So, and I hope you like it. What do cows give after they've been caught in a tornado?
That just happened to me a couple weeks ago. My cow. No, I just...
Man, what do they give? I don't know. Sour milk?
Milkshakes.
Oh.
Milkshakes.
Okay, I like that. That's a dad joke. I like that because my kids would look at me like, seriously, Dad? Okay, yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
So that's a true dad joke, yes.
Yeah. So my ask the next question is this. Of course, it's the other New York team. We talked about the Giants, but now I want to talk about the Jets. And it's this. You probably heard about this. And the last, I guess, was day or two, Rex Ryan appeared on the Bart and Hodge show, and he was kind of petitioning to go back to the New York Jets to be their head coach, saying that no nonsense from him. And I guess their most recent best success was under him. Do you think the Jets might take a chance and decide to bring him back, or they'd say, no, we're good and go in another direction? Just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Guys, good to talk to you. Y'all take care. We'll talk again soon. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Eric, thank you, Eric. Before we answer that question, we do have an update on L'Jarius Sneed from Teron Davenport. L'Jarius Sneed is going to IR. Sneed was initially said to have a quad bruise, then later diagnosed as a strain. The strain is severe enough to where the best option is for him to get rest. Callahan didn't rule out a return at some point this year.
Okay.
Quote, he's been fighting like hell to come back.
All right, well, finally they put him on. They should have did it maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
So you can do it retroactively is what I'm hearing.
So he's not done for the season.
Yeah.
He's not forced to be
out
for
the rest
of the year.
How many games they have left? What?
Seven left.
And I think IR is, what, 4 to 6 weeks, something like that?
Well, that's what I say there if it's retroactive.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, does this mean that if you do it today, he's got to miss the next four?
I think so.
I think if they're putting him on IR.
Like, in other leagues, you can make it retroactive.
In the NHL, you can make it retroactive.
Right. Baseball, you can. I don't know if you can in football.
That's the case, yeah. I don't think that's the case. Or at least I haven't heard of it happening. Hmm. When they put you on IR, it's just you start from that day.
Okay.
And then four games in.
All right. So Eric was asking about Rex Ryan returning to the Jets.
I don't know how that whole situation with him ended with the Jets. I don't know if it was they just sort of parted ways and hey, listen, best to you moving forward. We're just going in another direction. Thank you for your services. Or was it something a little bit worse than that? Was it internal fighting before he got fired? Because who got fired first, the GM, him or the GM? Tannenbaum or the GM?
I don't remember.
I think Rex may have gotten fired first and then Tannenbaum, or they may have gotten fired together. I'm not sure if the Jets want to go back down that route again. I've always said, listen, Rex is a good defensive coordinator, hell of a defensive coordinator in this league, one of the best I've ever seen. But is he a head coach? I mean, other than those 2 years in New York, which were really good years, that they went to back-to-back AFC Championship games, it just fell off. It fell off the cliff after that. That next following season and subsequently after that, it just fell off the cliff. So, you know, do they want to go back? It's like retread. Do you want to go back down that road again? Yeah, you had some success, but it didn't end the way we wanted it to end. And will New York fans be accepting of that, man? You just gotta, we're going back to the well again. It ain't like you took us to the Super Bowl, we won the Super Bowl, and then had some bad season, they fired him. I could see you bringing him back then, but I'm not sure they will.
We have multiple texters who inform us that there is no retroactive IR in the NFL.
Okay.
So he is out.
My bad.
So he's just out, yeah.
For the next four games, kind of a bummer. At least.
Yeah. So that should answer the question. Jared was asking the question, and I think it's a fair question to throw out there, even though I, as I said, I don't like when people sort of question whether a guy is
injured or not.
Injured, or hey, he might be sloughing it off.
Exactly.
He's not working. I don't believe that. I would never ever accuse a player unless I had evidence of a guy doing that. And I would never judge a guy on whether he's doing it based on how he answers questions in a scrum.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where I differ with Jared, but Jared was right to ask, well, if he's going to be out this long, they should
put him on IR.
And maybe retroactively, they should have put him on there earlier.
Yeah.
But I don't think they thought it was that bad. I think if I listened to what he said, I don't think he thought it would be this long before he would come back. But it's the kind of thing, and I've had the contusion to the thigh. I'm telling you, it is not as – it just seems to be benign from afar. It can be really serious.
But my thing is, okay, when an initial injury happened, y'all didn't think that it was that bad. But then Sneed said, listen, I knew it was bad. You know, he basically said when it happened, I knew it was bad. But then you go get the MRI and it says, well, it's a little bit worse than what we thought. And then you come back and say, oh, yeah, we got to put him on IR. You should have decided that. Why didn't you decide that 2 weeks ago? Or 3 weeks ago when he – because how much has changed, or were y'all waiting for it to get better?
They must have thought it was going to heal quicker. They must have thought – the trainers, the doctors, they must have thought it would not have been –
But even with that, you knew he was going to be out at least 2 weeks. You put him on IR, it's just 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So why didn't y'all do that? And he could have been off of it now. This could have been what? The last week of it which he still wouldn't have been healthy, obviously. So,
but obviously he's nowhere close.
Yeah,
if they're close. If they're going to put him on there today, because that's minimum 4 weeks, right? Yeah.
Yes, minimum 4 weeks. Trey is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing today, guys?
Good,
hey,
thank
Trey.
You.
Good. Hey, D-Maze, I want to know, in your repertoire of routes, how many did you do within a game, and how many is in your repertoire, and what is the most yards that you got in a game? And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey.
Appreciate it. I think the most I had, it might have been 170 against Houston, 3 touchdowns. See, I remember that. I'm acting like I don't. No, I think it was 173, 176 yards.
Yes. What was your single high
for
yardage in the game?
I think it was 173.
You had 186 receiving yards in week 17, Titans and Bengals in 2002.
Okay.
January 6th, 2002. You had,
so that Houston game was like 160 or 170.
In the Houston game, you had 177.
Yeah. So, but as far as my route tree or repertoire, I can run any route. And that was the unique thing, I think, about me, and one of the, other than me catching the football, best things that I had going is that I can play inside, I can play outside. I can play physical football. I can play finesse football. I can run every route in the route tree, and some you would make up. I can still run those. The route that they ran the most, that I ran the most, it got to a point where when I was in Baltimore. But the comeback route, you couldn't cover me. In the nonstop, you couldn't cover me.
Okay, what is the nonstop?
Nonstop is just running as if you're running a nine route.
A nine is a fly?
Yeah, nine is a fly. And then I'm stopping fly at pattern. 9 yards.
Just
I'm
dead sprint.
Yeah, I'm just
going
stopping
deep.
At 9 yards. Boom. And the quarterback's throwing it right at the back of my head. So as soon as I turn around, the ball's there. Defensive back can't.
So it's a back shoulder throw.
It's a back head throw. It's not really a back shoulder throw where I got to kind of open up and – no, it was – I was stopping. As soon as I stopped, the ball was on its way. And basically, he would throw it at the back of my head, depending on where I was on the field.
So a nine would be a bomb.
Yeah,
right?
Nine would be
a
bomb.
A nine stop is you're sprinting as if it's a bomb,
and stop.
But he's throwing it to the back of your helmet.
Yeah, yeah. So I was those routes, and I remember Cam Cameron. I love Cam Cameron. Love him to death. And I would tell him, like, Cam, can I run something other than a nonstop, man? But it was open all the time. But I'm like, man, let's run, because they're going to figure
shake
this
it up
out.
A little.
And we would shake it up. But the best route that I ever ran, and I thank Cam for this route. I really do thank Cam for this route. And I don't know why more people don't run this route. Maybe because they don't have time. But if you have time, a sluggo stop. It is unstoppable. You cannot stop that route. It's a sluggo, basically a slant and go. And typically when you run that sluggo, the defensive back is out of there because he's thinking, okay, they're going up top. You run that, get him to going, and you stop at about 9 yards. You can't defend it, because if you play underneath, I can throw it over the top after a while. That's a route, and we made that route up, no lie. Cam, we made that route up on a fly, basically on a fly. And we used it against Indianapolis, like in the first half of one game in the playoffs. And then they just got smart. They were like, forget it. He's not running this route no more. We're going to take it away. So they start playing cover two to it. But I loved a sluggo stop. Titans, if you are listening, please run that route. I want to see that route ran. You have to be a damn good route runner, which I think Ridley can run the route. But, yeah, I love that route. But me, I can run any route in the route tree, man.
615-737-1025. We do have one question from an unnamed texter that says, D-Mace, what did you think about the Jeff Fisher rumor Jared talked about yesterday? That's a great question. We're going to talk about that next.
Exactly.
615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinkin, 1025-1063. The game.